Welcome back to the Wild Side News. And now, Sydney Wildsmith.
If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. For the times they are a-changin'.
The times, they are a-changin', and no more than in the wide open spaces of the desert southwest. In a moment, a new day radical stretches her perspective to embrace a vision that brings new meaning to Mr. Dillon's words. When your voice of the earth continues, here on the Wild Side News. With the election just under 3 weeks away, there's a lot of movement. Every day seems to create a whole new dynamic in terms of what the public is thinking about and what the winds of change may portend in terms of the upcoming election, the midterm election. And certainly one of the areas that is on the table from so many perspectives is what Republicans are thinking about right now, particularly those who are connected with the land. And I'm really pleased to have back on the show Tui Blansett from New Mexico, who is a rancher in northern New Mexico and also someone who's really taken a stand for her land and as well America. So, Tweety, welcome to the Wild Side News.
Thank you very much for having me back.
Well, first of all, in New Mexico, what's the weather like? I'm always love to hear about what's going on.
As usual, our New Mexico weather is beautiful. We're blessed with some of the prettiest weather in the entire world, in my opinion.
That's a nice way to put it. Well, the last time we talked, you were quite frustrated because it seems as if your lifestyle was being seriously impacted by the onslaught of natural gas exploration, and it is quite astonishing. I've gone to Google, for example, and done an aerial survey of that area, and it's like a spider web of wells and lines, and I guess that's right where you're impacted. Has there anything happened of significance since we last talked?
I think the most significant thing is there isn't the capability, from our side anyway, mm-hmm. of being able to communicate, to mm-hmm. just sit down and try to work on problems. If you want anything done, you have to go to court. And that's a terrible thing for Americans to have to realize that they can't get their government to be responsive unless they take them to court. And not only that, it's very expensive, so that limits the ability of some people to even have that opportunity or address their problems.
That's very interesting because it unfortunately favors, in your case, for example, those with the grand wealth, which would be the oil companies, natural gas companies, and extractive industries. I think the word on the street is you can't take them to court. They'll beat you.
Well, I think that is the word on the street, but it's not one that I've listened to.
Oh, very good.
I'm just convinced that, you know, at some point in time, the American public is going to wake up and say, whoa, we are not going to destroy any more of our special places throughout the American West, and we're tired of the energy policies and the energy industry being able to run roughshod over us. And I just have to look at history when I do this because, you know, we used to have children and women in sweatshops and during the Industrial Revolution, and we said, no, we used to have slavery. We don't have that anymore. My generation walked during the Civil Rights era, and we also had a women's movement. We have women that vote. The railroads have gone down. We don't clear-cut our forest anymore. We don't dump pollution into our rivers, or at least we're working on that, too. I think that oil and gas is on the next hit list. They can't continue to be favored at the expense of the rest of the West. And I talk about the West because that's where I live, and particularly New Mexico.
That's a really tough battle. And you by the way, you've stated that so well. That's really an interesting perspective to say grand challenges have happened in the past, and they've been overcome. You also are discussing this from the perspective of someone whose roots really lie in a conservative and a Republican background. I know that one of your concerns is the relationship of the Republican Party to this current state of affairs. I'd be curious, since we're talking about the election this year, what your thoughts are.
Well, being a Republican is something that I'm not going to change, because I've always felt that the Republican Party was the party of the environment. Now, we've lost that. I'll be the first to say it. But unless Republicans stand up and say, whoa, look what we've lost, then it's not going to change. And we've turned over so many of the important regulations that protect our environment and protect our qualities of air and water in the last 10 to 15 years that it's just unconscionable, the things that we've done. And we have to get that back as Republicans. The other thing that I think we have just thrown over, and that's the private property rights. We as Americans, that's our standard. That's the thing that we built our country on, is private property rights. And the Republican Party has pushed private property rights onto the back burner in favor of the large extractive industries. And it's just something that we can't continue to ignore as an American public, and especially as a Republican. And then I guess the last thing that really bothers me is the supposedly higher moral ground that the Republican Party's always taken or tried to take, and that's just ludicrous, because I believe that once you become involved in the political arena, power becomes the most important thing, and the values that we cherished when we weren't in a position of power seem to go by the wayside. And I don't think that the Republicans or the Democrats have any holds on the higher moral ground. They both have demonstrated their lack of ability to act in a responsible and moral manner.
Well, I think it's very interesting you say that the Republican Party is the party of the environment. Boy, that certainly is not the perception, but it is your perception. And why don't you give us some background on how you define that perspective?
Well, I mean, EPA came in under the Republican Party. Not that the Democrats haven't done just as much now, well, especially in the last 20 years, they've done a great deal more. But when I was growing up and when I was thinking about how I wanted to be and where I wanted to be, that was one of the main things that, as a Republican, we did protect the land and the water and the people that were on the land. That's gone by the wayside. And it's one of the basic tenets of the Republican Party. We should be the party, the environment. We should be the party that's protecting private property rights, and we're not.
Given the deep politics on that historical perspective, because that certainly has disappeared in the consciousness of the contemporary mind, go back in time a bit to define how it is that the Republican Party had that land ethic. I'm trying to better understand that, because that is no longer the case.
Oh, well, Teddy Roosevelt started it, and I think we look to him as providing the leadership to protect, especially in the American West. But as a result of you know, the first wilderness areas, which of course is in New Mexico, and the first national park, Yellowstone, which is in Wyoming, we set the guidelines of where we were going to go about protecting our public lands and our very special places throughout the American West, and many places back east, too, wouldn't have many of their special places if this idea hadn't have gone from the West to the East. And so I think, you know, our roots as environmentalists and as protectors of the land are very deep. I just think that we're not leafing out very good now.
The solid part of being Republican is my land is mine, and it's important for me to be able to control the destiny of my place if I own it. How has that changed? You mentioned that this is under attack. What's happened?
Well, the private property rights in the West, and I can just speak about the West because that's where I live and that's what I deal with. But across the Rocky Mountain West, the push for oil and gas development, particularly, but maybe to a lesser degree, the other extractive industries have superseded our rights that are long-standing rights. Our ranch, for instance, has been in existence since the 1800s, but it was mostly federal land. But we never looked at it as anything except our stewardship and our land and our responsibility to take care of it. And when the oil and gas came in, their goals were to extract the natural resource and put it in the pipelines and send it down and make money for their investors, which is a real good tenet of the Republican Party, too. We were basically prone to try to make money and increase, you know, the nation's wealth, personal wealth. That's a basic property right, too. But in some place along the way, we lost our ability to say, you're not protecting both resources. You're not being a good neighbor. You're extracting at the expense of the land and the water and the people to solve what I think to be a quite out of balance energy policy, and support an industry that has lost their ability to work with the people on the land and be good, responsible neighbors. And they're supported by an administration that allows them to do this, whether it's the Bureau of Land Management or the Forest Service or, you know, the energy policy that was just passed, all give the extractive industries the right to run roughshod over the American West.
Well, you're a Republican, so I'll ask you the question. Do you feel that the Bush administration, and that's a broad spectrum of folks there. It's not
yes.
just George Bush. It's a lot of pals, and many of them come from Texas, and Texas is known for its oil and gas. Do you think perhaps that is where this is coming from? Texas has always been associated with oil and gas, and the Grand West is a different zone. There's a difference between Texas and Montana and Idaho and places like that in terms of this, I think, perspective. Are we fighting that to some extent, the Bush's association with the oil industry?
You know, I think we're really remiss if we simplify it to that, because if you go back and look, it was not just this administration. It was the Clinton administration, it was the Bush II administration, and it goes back and back and back, because the extractive industry has bought their way from the top to the bottom. Their influence is just unbelievable now. This administration has done more rollbacks of the regulations that protect the land and the people than previous administrations. But I think that this was kind of a stepping stone. I would love to be able to just hang this little sign around one administration's neck, but it's really a thinking that has permeated our society over, in my opinion, over a 15 or 20 year period, that oil and gas and the mining industry and the other energy related industries, whether power plants, nuclear or coal or hydro or whatever, have the right to supersede the private property rights of the individuals that they're impacting. And that's not the way it should be. But it's been coming for a while. Now, this administration certainly hasn't stepped up the plate and addressed any of the negative impacts.
Coming from a Republican ranch perspective, how do you see this being changed? What can actually be done?
I think the change lies with each one of us. And there's an election coming up, and I can just speak to New Mexico and so many places in the Rocky Mountain West, is that once an incumbent's been in power for a long time, the chances of having a viable candidate running against them have really diminished. And that's our problem, because when you go to the polls, sometimes you don't have much of a choice. But it is our opportunity to at least exercise that right and start working with the people who are elected to enact change, because it's only going to change when enough people stand up and say, we've had enough, boys, let's get this straightened up. Whether it's, you know, where we're having to protect from our lawmakers in Congress, our children, or whether we're having to protect our land and our water and our private property rights from our lawmakers and our administration. But it's not going to change until we stand up and say, enough is enough.
Well, that's exactly what you're doing. What do you think is the key element in terms of kind of expanding your perspective within the Republican ranks? Because right now the Republicans do control so much of the power at every level, and you know, you're really running up against that wall when you try to stand up for your own rights. But unfortunately, it's backed up through these electoral processes that keep reelecting, you know, Republicans that have this perspective on power and this relationship to the extractive industries. What's going to happen? How is that going to change?
Well, I think each one of us have to join and be a force for whatever direction we think that our country should be going. I'm a national director for Republicans for Environmental Protection. It's a very small group, but we're a very vocal group because we say, we're not going along with this any longer. So that's one way. The other thing I do is I work with people who I wouldn't normally, being a rancher, have associated with or worked with. And I work with a lot of different environmental groups because we're all aligned now to save the American West for the generations to come from this huge expanse of influence throughout the West from the extractive industries. And so I think it comes back to the individual. You just have to be willing to stand up and take some real tough comments that aren't very pleasant sometimes when you do stand up.
Well, it's interesting because it's common ground that we're talking about here, that the disparate political players have to come onto this common ground to protect it. You actually feel that to a large extent we're fighting for America's future. I know you take this all very seriously.
Definitely. If we as Americans today, and I'm a grandmother of three beautiful grandchildren, don't stand up and protect the legacy that we were entrusted with, then we have nothing to pass on. And if we don't as Americans stand up and say, you know, you're going in the wrong direction, then we have nothing to blame but ourselves. And then I think the last thing is that you have to keep communicating, even with people that don't agree with you, that talk down to you sometimes, are somewhat smug, are kind of pat you on the head and try to send you out the door. You have to keep talking and telling them that this is not the way responsible Americans are supposed to act.
You're living in the midst of change, and it's impacting you dramatically. We talked about that in a previous show. Let's say that things were to continue as they are. You know, how would you see this impacting your region there and the West? What do you see if we don't turn this around?
Well, I see a tremendous amount of change coming in the American West. And if you look at the political maps, the West has always been red, except for New Mexico. And then we just go between red and blue and red and blue because we're truly a bipartisan state. But what I see tremendous change happening in the American West, and I think that that's going to catch on because we as Westerners are standing up for the environment, for the water, for the land, for the people that are on the land, and for the lack of responsibility of these large corporations that are making unmentionable profits at the expense of those things that we think are so precious and so important in the American West, those special places that were set aside, you know, generations ago.
And a final couple of questions here. I'm curious, as you look out on the landscape from your perspective, who do you see coming from the Republican ranks that you think is speaking to your interests?
You know, if I had to pick leadership from either party, not just the Republican Party, I think it would be a real difficult position because I haven't seen anyone stand up and be true leaders, whether you're a Republican or whether you're a Democrat. What I do see is each party mouthing the same platitudes that we've listened to for the last 25 years with just a different format. I don't see anybody speaking to the issues in a straightforward manner. You don't get a politician on a talk show that will tell you how they really feel. They skirt around every question, and they really never answer a question, especially if it's a tough one.
I think you're absolutely right. I feel that what we're suffering from is a lack of real truth, and people are just do not speak the truth at all. If you had to speak your truth, what would it be? Let's get down here. Go ahead, Tweety. Tell us what you really think.
Well, I think that Republicans and Democrats have to take a long look at themselves about what are they doing? What are they creating with the legacy that they're leaving them behind? Because America was founded on basic beliefs and values that we take care of the land and the people on the land. And there's always been a power struggle for anyone that's in a political arena. That goes without saying. But at what cost are you willing to be on top? And at what cost are you willing to stand back and say, you know, I can ignore this injustice? Because that's where it has to start, too. I mean, we have to be pointing it out as American people, but then our elected representatives have to start standing up and saying, no, I'm not going to stand by. If you don't reelect me, that's fine, but I'm not going to stand by and condone any more of this. I'm not going to stand on a party line. I'm not going to stand on something that's wrong just because I've got my marching orders from my leadership.
I know for you, and this is where it starts to get very personal, you felt even threats. You felt intimidated, that there is efforts to really intimidate you. And that gets to be really very difficult to deal with. That is really going on, isn't it?
Yes. I've definitely had personal and kind of innuendo-type threats. But you know what I look at that as, and I'm pretty thick-skinned. I don't get bothered by the fact that somebody that really doesn't like what I'm saying. If I think I'm saying it with care and with thoughtfulness and that I'm telling the truth, at least as I see it, I don't really care about what they're saying. But when they do start coming after me pretty strong, I know that I have affected somebody. And that's not necessarily bad.
That's an amazing perspective. You are someone who is truly brave. I've been in situations where I've had to take stands, and it can affect your capacity to sleep at night sometimes. But you're really speaking truth to power, and we'll talk about this again. We do have to keep this information coming out. In terms of the upcoming election, do you see any hopes or promise, or do you see a change coming?
I certainly see a change coming in the American West. We're up in arms. And we're really holding both local and state people's feet to the fire, so to speak.
In
New Mexico, the environment has definitely been an issue.
Mm-hmm.
And the extractive industry has definitely been an issue. And at the state level, the private property rights bill will be reintroduced just as soon as the doors open in Santa Fe once again to protect people's rights against the extractive industry. And you would think we would have that, but in New Mexico, we're fighting that battle over again, too. So I see big changes coming.
How do you mean that the property rights legislation? I'm not familiar with that.
Okay,
particular.
We have a Surface Owner Protection Act that we have introduced now. This will be the third go-round, and industry is fighting it tooth and nail. In fact, the representative from southern New Mexico, which has no oil and gas in his district, was brave enough to step up the plate. He's a Democrat, Andy Nunez, that was brave enough to step up the plate and introduce the bill, and the industry has just hammered on him and poured thousands of dollars into an opponent's race to get rid of him. So it's a very powerful industry in New Mexico, and a very important industry to New Mexico. I use gas just like everybody else does, and we're ranchers. Probably we're some of the biggest energy consumers there are, farmer and ranchers. But you have to do it with respect.
Tweety, it's always good to talk with you, and I'm going to give you more time and get some of your friends on here.
Well, Tweety, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Okay, Tweety, thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So thanks for coming along on this day of choices, and get out there and make the right choices. It is up to us, and we either do the right thing or pay the consequences. Take the cue from Tweety Blanchett. It's time we take a stand and speak out. We do each Thursday and every day on the archives on your Voice of the Earth. This is Sidney Wildsmith saying adios until we meet again here on the Wild Side News.